Let's turn in God's Word to Genesis and chapter 33. In Genesis 33, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 20. Genesis 33, verses 1 through 20. We'll begin in verse 1. And God's people, remember that these are the words of God. They are infallible. That means they cannot err because they are perfect in every way, for they are from God. Now Jacob lifted his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming, and with him were 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. And he put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children behind, and Rachel and Joseph last. And he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted his eyes and saw the women and children and said, "Who are these with you?" So he said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." And the maidservants came near, they and their children, and bowed down. And Leah also came near with her children, and they bowed down. Afterward, Joseph and Rachel came near, and they bowed down. And Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company which I met?" And he said, "These are to find favor in the sight of my Lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." And Jacob said, "No, please, if I have now found favor in your sight, then receive my present from my hand, inasmuch as I have seen your face as though I had seen the face of God, and you were pleased with me. Please take my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." So he urged him, and he took it. And Esau said, "Let us take our journey. Let us go, and I will go before you." But Jacob said to him, "My lord knows the children are weak, and the flocks and herds which are nursing are with me. And if the men should drive them hard one day, all the flock will die. Please let my lord go on ahead before his servant. I will lead on slowly at a pace which the livestock that go before me and the children are able to endure until I come to my lord and see her." And Esau said, "Now let me leave with you some of the people who are with me." But he said, "What need is there? Let me find favor in the sight of my lord." So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth, built himself a house, and made booths for his livestock. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. Then Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Paddan Aram. And he pitched his tent before the city, and he bought the parcel of land which he had pitched his tent, where he had pitched his tent, from the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected an altar there and called it El Elohe Israel. And those are God's words. Now, before we remember in this chapter, before this chapter, we remember Jacob and Esau are enemies. And yet, through verse 4, a positive meeting we see between the two brothers occurs. And then, through verse 7, Jacob's family is seen by Esau. And the gifts Jacob gave to Esau, through verse 11. And then, through verse 15, the journey they were to go on to Seir and how that would happen. In which, at the end of the chapter, Jacob settled in Canaan, the land of promise. So Jacob here is still, at the beginning of the chapter, he's still journeying towards Canaan after he had left his wife's father, that land to the east, Rachel and Leah's father. And yet, there came trouble. Here's Esau, who he believes is very hostile towards him, and 400 men. That does not look very promising to Jacob. That spells trouble. And so we might consider ourselves. How many times in our lives are we following on the path laid before us? We're walking on the way, going to where we're supposed to go, doing what we're supposed to be doing. It seems to be going well, but then something comes against us that frightens us, perhaps causes us to fear, causes us to stop trusting the Lord's promises, because what we see is a fearful thing with our eyes. And that's what you might say came before Jacob with his own brother. And yet the Lord blessed him as he had promised. The Lord does this all the time. We think something is going to be terrible, horrible in following God. And in his providence, something, sometimes it is, and yet very horrible, something comes, and yet in the end, every time, God's promises are fulfilled. And he's always faithful, just as he is faithful here. How is he faithful here? He is faithful not only to protect Jacob, but he's also faithful to bring him to the land where he's supposed to go. He's supposed to go to Canaan. He's supposed to dwell there, because that's the land of promise. And so here, God is faithful again. Nothing stands in his way, even when it seems like it does with our eyes. So never cease trusting in the Lord's promises, but put your faith in him. Every time he is faithful. You cannot find one time where he is unfaithful. In all the history of the world, in all the scripture, in all of your life, you will never find one time that he was unfaithful. And so how much more then can you believe that he will be faithful in the future? Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give you praise. As we worship you, as we come here to worship you, as you call us to gather before your throne. For you are the faithful God. At every Lord's Day, morning and evening, you are present with us by your Holy Spirit. As we gather together to worship you, you are always there. You are always with us. And so we are thankful for the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit who counsels us, who guides us, who is our comforter. We are thankful that you fulfill your promises, each one. And some of those promises are promises of judgment. And so we think of our own nation. Since the beginning has turned from you, rebelled against you, has not bowed the knee and submitted to Christ your Son. And continually as we live our lives, we are seeing more and more of that judgment that is promised to our nation come about. Because you promised. You promised that one promise in Psalm 2, kiss the Son lest you perish. Speaking to nations, rulers, and kings. And so that's what we are seeing today, and that's what we have been seeing, and that's what we will see in the future. Unless our nation repents, unless our rulers turn to Christ and call all the citizens to bow the knee to Christ and believe on him, and call people to go into the churches and worship the living and true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is our nation's only hope from being saved from judgment and the judgments that you will bring. And so, Father, we pray for our rulers today. We ask that you would save them, each one. That you would cause them to see the truth of their sin, of their rebellion, of their law breaking, just as we have done the same. And you would call them to yourself. You would send your Spirit and change their hearts, if it be your will. And grant to them a knowledge of the Scriptures, that they would meditate upon the law day and night, that they would read your law, and have their hope found in Christ alone. And Father, that's the only hope for our nation. And so, Father, we pray that you'd bring it about. And Father, it is a grievous thing to see what happens in our nation from time to time in the last decades, seeing in the last 4 years even the great divide in our country between citizens and rulers. So, Father, we pray that you will bring about peace. But we know what your word promises and how that comes about. And we might fear your judgments as we ought to fear your judgments. But, Father, for the few righteous who remain, we pray that you would sustain us and grant health to the church, protection. Perhaps the next few years will bring about greater persecution to the church. We don't know, but it seems possible in our eyes. Father, we pray that you would uphold us. You'd help us to remember the scriptures, especially those that we've found in places like 1 Peter, that's specifically for the church that is persecuted. Help us to remember what we've learned there. And our foundation will be and must be upon the gospel of Jesus Christ and nothing else. That our hope is found upon Him and Him alone. And that we live according to you, to your commandments, to your word. And not according to our sight. Not according to what we fear might happen. But according to your word and promises. And whatever persecution or suffering comes, then it comes. And we trust the promise that we will be glorified together with Christ. That though we suffer in union with Him, we will also be glorified together with Him. And so, Father, sustain us and sustain your church. Keep growing your church. Keep refining with your consuming fire, your people, and sanctify us. Sanctify the church. All those false teachers and false prophets, we pray that you would get rid of them and judge them according to your will, if it is not to save them, which we do plead for your grace. And mercy even to them. But Father, judge them. And cleanse your bride. And cleanse your bride with the word. Sanctify us with the truth. Your word is truth. Father, we give you praise today. We're thankful that the Denison congregation has a new pastor now. Pray that you would bless that congregation, bless Caleb even today, and that new ministry that he takes up. And bless that congregation and their witness to the community, a community that rebels against you, and a community that loves drugs. And the idols of getting away from reality. Father, we ask that you would also be with the other congregations. We pray, just as we are praying for ourselves, pray for the Bryan congregation, the Dallas congregation, as they look for new places to worship, because you are blessing these congregations and ours. Give success in their search, and you would bring about good terms and negotiations and contracts. And then, Father, we pray for your people and your people here. I ask that you would heal our bodies and strengthen us to serve you in all things. and those who are not feeling well, that you would build them up and strengthen them, that they would be able to return and worship you with us. And then we pray, especially for Dave's mom, Libby, you would strengthen her as she fell again and broke her hip again. And Father has been often confused and not able to speak well and communicate with Dave or others. And so, Father, we pray that you'll strengthen her mind as you strengthen her heart and keep building her up to serve you in her remaining days. And when the end is to come, just as we pray for each one of us, we would die well, that she would die well, honoring you, which we trust your promises that you will raise up that body and our bodies and make them new glorified bodies, or give us new glorified bodies, in which we will reign with you and worship you forever and ever. And this is our hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.